Chapter 1, Neuroscience, Neurotheology, and the Soul. Chapter Summary. This chapter begins by affirming some important discoveries of neuroscience about how the brain works. Two important discoveries are highlighted: the connections between the brain and thinking, feeling, and our other activities, and the fact that the brain can be shaped, its neuroplasticity. The way in which neurotheologians interpret this data is then evaluated. They interpret the data of neuroscience to mean that the mind and brain are the same thing, and that therefore we are essentially our brains. From this, they conclude that we must understand the brain better via neuroscience in order to understand spiritual formation and human flourishing. I explained that their anthropology is an effective form of physicalism. The chapter concludes by illustrating the importance of also considering what we can know about ourselves from other points of view, specifically theology and philosophy. God takes great delight in the study of His creation. One way in which we study God's creation is through science. As science explores the physical aspects of the world God has created, one important part of this investigation is our own physiology. This includes the study of how our brains work. The field of neuroscience is committed to this task. With the help of increasingly sophisticated technology, neuroscientists are making great strides in developing a better understanding of the brain's intricacies. Important discoveries of neuroscience. Overall, neuroscientists are making two important discoveries. First, they're finding clear correlations between regions of the brain and our mental life, thinking, desiring, choosing, and so forth. Second, they are discovering that our brains can be reshaped in order to function better. This concept is known as neuroplasticity. For example, a popular book discussing various interpretations of neuroscience begins by listing the results of a number of important studies. It's not important to understand the technical neuroscientific terms used. The point is to illustrate the cause and effect relations being discovered by neuroscientists. Quote, experimental data demonstrate that the psychological pain of social loss, such as the loss of a loved one, has neural correlates in the prefrontal cortex and the anterior cingulate cortex. Research indicates that when a person intends to suppress unwanted memories, his or her prefrontal cortex is involved in dampening activity in the hippocampus, a subcortical structure implicated in memory retrieval. Communicative intention between persons is signaled by an activation of two common brain regions, the same areas of the brain that activate when people are asked to consider the mental states of others. Emotion-induced memory gains and losses depend on a common neurobiological mechanism that can be manipulated by the pharmacological agent propranolol or by damage to the amygdala. A study established that the brain's anterior cingulate cortex is implicated in monitoring the consequences of one's actions, end quote. The correlations between neural events, mental events, and the brain's neuroplasticity are clear and relatively uncontroversial findings of neuroscience. Thompson summarizes this data well, quote, whenever we have a thought or a feeling, there is a corresponding firing pattern of these electrochemical charges among the neurons. We do not experience anything without there being a corresponding neural firing pattern, end quote. He adds, quote, many experiments have been done to identify the part of the brain that most often correlates with the activation of attention, and particular anatomical regions of the brain correlate with the mind's system of attention. Different areas of the brain are associated with various forms of memory, end quote. Due to these facts of neuroscience being relatively uncontroversial, I won't spend more time discussing neuroscience per se. My concern is how these findings relate to what we are and how we flourish. From neuroscience to neurotheology. Various interpretations have been offered to explain these findings. One interpretation is that of the neurotheologians. This interpretation then leads to an important conclusion, and from this conclusion follows the neurotheologian's application to the question of how we flourish. What is the neurotheologian's interpretation of the neuroscientific data?